reach your name forever. Hallelujah. Welcome someone this morning. Glory to God forever. God bless you. Praise God forever. We're looking at taking off the limits. And before we began having Holy Ghost meetings in the month of January, every January was usually used to set the pace with respect to the instructions or the marching orders we receive from heaven. But since we started having Holy Ghost meetings in January, we shifted that particular aspect of God's plan for us through the month of February. So we're still receiving marching orders and instructions, and take off the limits is a way of capturing what we believe God is saying to us with respect to the overflow that God has spoken to us about experiencing. Last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 11. We started from verse 1 that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made by the things which do what appear. So we explained last week that by faith we understand that, now this translation is wrong for when it says universe. Alright, so when you study the Greek version, it uses the word aeons. So it's not worlds there, it speaks about two words. Cosmos, which is world, and then aeons, which is ages. So when it says, by faith we understand that the aeons, the ages, dispensations were framed by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made from what appears. I'm quoting King James, so this is not the right translation. So please go back to King James, at least if you can give us another one. Amen. So having several translations doesn't mean you are still interpreting scriptures properly. Say amen. So it's love to study so they can interpret. And I said something last week that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 to 2 and Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 to 3 are saying the same thing. By faith we understand that the things which are seen, number one, the ages were framed by the word of God. So the activities we have in the scriptures were written and they were demonstrations of God's power through people upon whom the word of God came. That's the way the scriptures were written. So I said to us that we have people like Abel, then we have Enoch, then we have Noah, then we have Abraham, then we have Sarah, we have Jacob and Isaac, and we have Joseph. If you're following the book of Hebrews 11, now they were written to show the activities of God in their lives. And it says, by faith, verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must be persuaded that God is who he is and that he is a rewarder. So what was used to frame their ages or what we saw in their dispensation was God's way of rewarding them. Say amen. That's important. So there were activities Noah built an ark. Okay. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Enoch walked with God. I was not found or counted among those who suffered death. Abraham walked with God. And the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Even though his body was dead, he experienced resurrection life. So in Abraham's dispensation, the word of God came. Abraham took that word and produced something above the natural. So when we're looking at taking off the limits, God has no limitation with what he can do with a mind that is renewed to the truth of God's word. That's very important. Because everything God wants to do, for instance, I think during the crossover night or watch night service, we emphasized the need for personal devotion. I mean, you also remember. All right, so I've been following the daily exhortations too from Monday to Friday. So you see, I'm trying to prepare our hearts for the theme for this morning, supernatural adventures. See, I'm having adventures in the glory of God. Listen carefully. Your Christian walk will be dull, it will be boring, and it will be easy for you to be distracted or to be derailed if you're not constantly having supernatural experiences. That's how you were born. You were spoken of ahead of time. Your life is not ordinary. There's a peculiarity about your kind that you need to imbibe and stay conscious of. If there's no peculiarity, Paul will not write to the Romans and say, I beseech you by the mercy of God, Romans chapter 12 verse 1, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable worship, and be not conformed to this world. That means don't allow the environment and the world to squeeze you into its own mold. Why? Don't be conformed to this world. Why? You are not of this world. Now, except you keep hearing things that are not of this world, you will not amount to all that God has planned and prepared for you to become. Paul is admonishing, say, I beseech you by the sacrifice of Jesus, after all that God has done, don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its own mold. That's what translation says. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, which is what? The perfect will of God. Now, what is amazing in Hebrews chapter 11 that we need to focus on is this. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to jump all the way to verse 32 as we take off. Because you have to stretch the curtains of your mind and the boundaries of your thoughts must stretch for you to accommodate what God wants to do. Say with me, is my year of overflow? I'm breaking all limits. I'm breaking all boundaries. Impossibilities are my daily breakfast. Hallelujah. That's where we're going now. Impossibilities must now be something you run towards so that you can see God's power, God's glory like you have never seen it before in your experience. This is a year of five times more. Oh, you're not hearing me this morning. This is a year of five times more. If the limit you have ever seen is 500,000, it's time to see 5 million. We're in a year of five times more. And you need to be aware of the season that you're in. Now, if the enemy told you that you have seen 60, you won't see 70, God sent it to you this morning. If the enemy told you that as you are going, the same sickness that prevailed in your father's house will take you out, God sent it to you this morning. You will not only abide in health, you'll be a distributor of God's healing power. You will not be stuck or stranded, living alone. You will loan to many and you will not need to borrow. Now again, there's a limit are not on God's side. Limits are in our mind. And the mind of man is so strong that if that mind doesn't bend, you know, the Bible says that the gates of brass and the bars of what? Iron. That's the mind of man. That's how strong it is. So what God proposes to do is to using his word to break down limitations, mental images that stand against that ability of God that can produce literally anything. Are you in Hebrews chapter 11? I'm going to read from verse 32. What more shall I say? For the time will fail me. Notice to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Let's read on. Who through faith? Notice through faith. What is faith again? The substance of things hoped for. The one evidence of things not seen. How do you get substance of things hoped for? God speaks to you. Now in what God says to you, some are promises that have a future date of manifestation. Some are promises that have no future date. They simply are a commitment of God to you about what God will do to fulfill his word. Let me explain. The word promise in the scripture speaks about two things. I can give you a post-dated check and say in the month of June, this check will be cashable. That's a part of God's promise. But there's another dimension that you need to understand, which we're going to read shortly. Notice they obtain promises. That's not futuristic. That means it's a personal commitment on the part of God to fulfill his word in your life in a given situation. That's also a promise. That's important. So it's not every promise that's futuristic. It's not everything that's done. No. There are things God will do because of what he has done in your life today. But if you're not conversant and allow the boundaries of your consciousness to stretch, you will not be able to experience God to that dimension. Not because his hand is short, he cannot deliver. But because your mind is not open to that particular dimension of God. Glory to God. Listen, when you're walking with God in this dimension, 2 plus 2 is not always 4. Who told you 2 plus 2 is 4? Men did. Are they okay? Yes. Is that accepted practice? Yes. That's accepted practice. Who taught you about the law of gravity? You found out by teaching and by experience. Isn't it? But men have been able to fly. Yes or no? Okay, let's go there. Don't let's explore that one too much. But people, men, out of desperation, out of research, have been able to defy. There's what you call the law of lift, isn't it? So people are constantly discovering that laws were not meant to bind. They were meant to be conquered. They were meant to be used for the advantage of man. So we see advancements in the natural. I was saying something during that. Listen, God will lead someone. A permanent cure will come to cancer because it is always in God's interest. Even if it doesn't come to a believer, it's better if it comes to a believer. But God will, so to speak, breathe upon someone and he will give a principle or a concept that will conquer cancer permanently because of what he's doing. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, every generation, God always does that. Somebody says why? Because he's not going to wait for every single person to believe before they, some people will die before they can believe. And God wants men to be saved. By all means, it wants men well. And that's one of the reasons why God is good even when men don't believe. Somebody says why? Because he's just a good God. He's kind to the just and what? The unjust. But he's dropping ideas. He's dropping concepts. within the framework of our generation. In every dispensation, God is moving in certain ways, having moved in previous generations and dispensations, so that you can walk with God into the fullness of what he has planned and prepared. And one of the ways he does that, in your private devotion, he will drop ideas and thoughts. And coupled with what he's saying, there will be parallels of it in the scriptures that you're studying that will let you know God has done this before. If only you can recognize parallel with what he's saying to you now, you will have breakthroughs and supernatural experiences on a consistent basis. Now, notice what he says again, chapter 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained what? Promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. That's against natural law. He says they quenched the violence of fire. So fire has violence. But some people got in there and it was AC all the way through. Some people got in there. Now fire burns. It hasn't stopped burning. But fire is not bigger than the ability of God. Many waters drown. But the same water causes arcs to lift or to rise. So you need to understand that it says they quench. That means they defy natural laws. They escape the edge of the sword. After weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in flight and turned to fly the army of the aliens. Now, go me all the way to verse. This is where I'm going because of our time. Look at verse 39. So Jephthah, Gideon, Barak, Samuel, David, the prophets, which include Daniel. These all, having obtained a good report, and I told us that to obtain a good report means that they gave a good testimony in their day. We're reading their testimony, which is the testimony of God's work in their life, and it's meant to be a source of encouragement to us of what God can do with men. So they gave a good witness or a good testimony in their day through faith, and they received not the promise, but they obtained promises. So there were promises obtained, but not the promise. Which promise is talking about? Look at verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made what? Perfect. Pay attention. They without us. So all they did, the word of God came. That word, when they acted upon it, framed their dispensation. It was a notable thing God did in their generation. But there was something God was planning to that was still futuristic. So there was a promise and there were promises. The promise is the resurrection of Jesus. The promise is the ability of God showing up in their lives in difficult situations and difficult times that cause them to break limits. They're not the same. Now, he now says, they're without us. So when you see men doing those exploits, and he gave us a list of people, he says, they're without us. They were still not complete. Now, if people who are not complete, who have not received the fullness, they did exploits, and you have the fullness. Of you, the scripture says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Glory to God. Whatever you have earned so far is peanuts compared to the increase God is bringing your way. Whatever you have made in business so far is nothing compared to the increase God wants you to control. Verse 30. Moreover, whom God did predestinate, them he also called. Those he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also won. Glorify. Look at verse 31. He says in verse 31, what shall we then say to these realities? If God is not a question, since God is for us. The word if and the word since are interchangeable in the Greek. So since God is for us, who can be against us? How is God for you? Look at next verse, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 33. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, seeing it is God who justifies? Who is it that condemns? Is it not Christ that died? Yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for who? Intercession for who? So based on what he has accomplished, he's making intercession. And I explained to us also that there's a principle of intercession, there's a prayer of intercession, not the same. You need to understand there's a prayer of faith, there's a principle of faith, they're not the same. So the prayer of faith is prayer. The principle of faith is you using faith without prayer. For instance, Mark chapter 11 verse 23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he. That's the principle of faith. What's the prayer? Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray. So he's telling you, the reason why the prayer will work is because the principle has been worked. Amen. Are you me this morning? So there's a principle, there's a prayer. So the principle is working, or the prayer is working, because the principle has what? Been set into motion. In other words, I cannot misuse the principle and think the prayer will work. No, it will not work. That's what he's trying to say. So there's a principle of intercession. There's a prayer of intercession. In the prayer of intercession, we are praying or standing in a gap for the lost. And we also more of supplication. Now, the principle of intercession here, when it says that, he also maketh intercession for us. The implication, it's not that Jesus is praying in heaven. Who is he going to pray to? It's God. He's on the right hand of the Father. And he's on that right hand for your sake. Now, based on what he has accomplished, to make intercession means to stand in place for another. In other words, your being there is because of these people who have been justified, who have been called, who were predestinated, to whom no accusation can stand. You are making intercession means that what you have accomplished is available for them to benefit from. That's intercession. Say amen. So the victory of Jesus was not for him, it was for you. It was for me. That's what it means. That is making intercession. He's been alive, is his intercession. If he's alive, my victory is alive. My health is alive. My breakthrough is alive. My faith will always work. My hope will never be ashamed. That's what it means. That is intercession. He lived to make intercession. That's Hebrews 7:25. He ever lived to make intercession. That is, he's been alive. That is his intercession. It means to make something available for another. So he's been alive. Is intercession for you. It means I'm alive means everything I've ever done for you, including the sacrifice and the payment, they are my intercession for you. That means we'll never be bankrupt of help in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me try and slow down. This is shocking me. Hallelujah. Hey, because you need to see what God is saying. There without us could not be made perfect. And these are men that we look at. We go back to scriptures. And we see the testimony of God's faithfulness in their lives. At least one or two notable events. And the Bible says they obtained promises, but that wasn't the promise. Say, I've obtained the promise. Say, I'm alive in Christ. Say, I'm raised up with him. I'm the one scripture speaks about. Look at Psalm 103. Or 102. Look at Psalm 102. Psalm 102 verse 13. Praise God. Notice in prophecy. He says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor our ear. The set time is come. For your servants take pleasure in our stores and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the heart thy glory. Now Zion in manifestation. All the kings of the earth will bow to the works that are coming out of Zion. When the Lord shall build up Zion, it shall appear how? In glory, in his glory. So the fullness of God's glory is where? It's in Zion. Say, I'm in Zion. Say, I'm in Zion now. Say, in resurrection of Jesus, I have come to Zion, the city of the living God. Say, I'm in the city of the living God. I am the city of the living God now. Look at verse 17. See what it now says. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Verse 18. These shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created. One translation says, who shall be recreated. The people who shall be recreated, they shall praise the Lord. Their lives shall speak of the works of God. So there is a generation that was to come, that the psalmist was prophesying about. And he's talking about you. He's talking about me. There's a generation that will come. And these things are written so that they can run. In other words, these things are written for that generation to know what is available, what is possible, what they ought to walk in. So these things are written. So your future is a history in God. Your future is a history in God. You know that song that we sing that says that my story is written. He said it is what? Finished. My story is what? Written. Say, my story is written in the scriptures. The scriptures have come to pass. Everything about me also will also come to pass. Nothing spoken concerning me will fall to the ground. I am the redeemer of the Lord. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm free from disease. I'm free from poverty. I'm free from lack. I'm not lacking ideas. Abundance is mine to walk in. I walk in the fullness of God's provision for me. If they without us could not be made perfect, and they enjoy the power of God, how much more you? Hebrews 12, verse 24. 22. Hebrews 12, 22. Your future was written as a history in God. But you are come. Hallelujah. But you are come. Say, I've come. Unto Mount Zion. Unto the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. You have come unto Mount Zion. That's the city of the living God. That's the city Abraham looked forward to seeing, whose builder and maker is God. See, God built me. God fashioned me. I'm made for exploits. Supernatural streams are meant to spring from me. I cannot be stuck in life. I can never be stranded. So I'm saying this to you so you understand that our confessions are not mere wishful thinking. They are eternal realities that you must learn to employ your mouth. See, this mouth of yours was not designed for food alone. Food is not the primary use of this mouth. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds. In other words, the man takes what proceeds, and it must proceed from his own mouth also. That's the plan of God. So the proceed, the rema that proceed, that is the instruction God gives you per time, must proceed from your mouth. It's not for any other person, it's for you. That's how you run. That's how you walk and you're not wearing, you run and you don't fade. That's how you mount up wings as eagles. There's a supernatural energy because in that space, in that time, there's something God has apportioned to you that will work for you if you know how to run with it. That's what he's saying. So, in a place of personal devotion, thoughts are being given. Hope is being established. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. Glory to Jesus. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, ahead of time. I heard the man of God say a few years ago, he said, if you are in an impossible situation and you don't know what to do, I have good news for you. You have a God of possibilities. In other words, the time will come in your walk with God. Every time a challenge arises, all you can see is promotion. I'm about to be promoted. Something great is about to happen. You are not looking at the challenge and saying, what will I say? What will I do? Oh God, where is your face? Where is his face? The one that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you because you are in debt and you're not able to pay and you have enjoyed increase before and you're no longer having abundance presently and you are thinking that temporal challenge. Listen, Joseph was in his father's house, the most beloved of his father's children, enjoying the very best, wearing a coat of many colors. But in order for the scripture to be fulfilled, when you see the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowing to you, it won't happen in your father's house. That's the part believers don't like. Because when you're just smooth sailing, I told you last week, somebody was sacked into destiny. Someone says, sack me, sack me. Someone says, why? Because you have wings that you have never used. And where you are, you can no longer fly. And God's looking at you. Greatness is here. Ability is here, but you can't see it. Perhaps God did not tell them to sack you. Circumstances pushed you out because you have stayed on that journey too long. And God now uses the opportunity to let you see that you have wings, so you can fly. There are great things you ought to do, but you are too comfortable where you are. And that's the problem. And that's the problem. Everyone I know who's doing great things in God, they've learned this cycle of operation. In other words, things will go downhill so you can go to a higher level. It's not planned for your destruction. It's a plan for your increase and promotion. If you know how faithful God is. But you know what people do? They panic. Because if it doesn't appear good, it mustn't be God. No. God has a plan behind the scenes that's working out. Look at verse 4. Romans chapter 15 verse 4. Whatsoever things were written ahead of time, were written for our learning. The one learning is doctrine, teaching, instruction. Whatsoever things were written ahead of time, they were written so that we can learn. It's doctrine, is instruction. It's you seeing people who are in similar situation, sometimes more grief circumstances. Who came out? They were written so that you can see how faithful and consistent God is. That's what they were written. Is it possible to be 80 years old and not need cane to walk? Yes. Moses was 120 years old and his natural force. This is a man that the Bible says, without you, you couldn't be complete. His natural force was not what? Abated. Natural force. He has done it for somebody before, and God is not a respecter of persons. He has. My biological clock is ticking. They say in medicine, medicine is fine. That's natural hope. When natural hope fails, you go to supernatural hope. Because people that don't have womb have given birth before. Hallelujah. A virgin conceived. How can you be discussing no womb with God, who made all things? That's not the issue. The issue is, can your mind contain? Can it stretch beyond the normal limitations of what they call medical science? Because people that have no womb, they've conceived and delivered safely. They told the lady, your pelvis is too small. If you try to have children, you either die or the children keep dying. She went back to the doctor after having 5 children on her own without the hospital to show, I'm alive. I don't have one. I don't have two. I have five. Because we God. You are not getting angry with the doctor. There's a limitation in medical science. But there's no limitation in the one whom we serve. No limitation whatsoever. No limitation whatsoever. Somebody came out of school with third class. No class at all. His friends were looking at him and telling him that it's over. You know, in these days, certificate is good, but we don't exalt it. No. I hope you know things have changed. Things have changed. So you better be connected strongly with God. And things have changed. And God said, don't worry, I'll bless you. No certificate. He was working a lowly job. And I'm not saying you should go and do this one, because some of you, where you hear things. It wasn't even him. It was a friend that bought a raffle ticket. And he got a car before any of his colleagues got one. And yet he has no class. But with faith in God. That means there's no limit. See, there's no limit to God's lifting in my life. Whatever things were written, you are not reading stories. You are reading testimonies. Testimonies of what God has done. So you can see what is possible. So whatever you call a limitation now is only a limitation because you have not read anything that speaks and that shows you there's something greater along the line that God has done. That's why you're thinking it's possible. For some of the things we're waiting for time, we're waiting for our instruction so that we through what? Patience and what? Comfort of scriptures. We might have what? Hope. Can you see that now? Now, the word patience means there's a consistency of God's dealing with people. And there's a the word comfort doesn't mean somebody stands beside you saying, sorry. No. Comfort means someone and something that stands by your side to reassure you this is possible. Notice, whatever things were written ahead of time, they were written for you and I to be instructed so that true patience, that consistency we see in scriptures, and that persuasion of God's abiding presence, you and I, through the scriptures, might have a supernatural word, expectation. Without that expectation, even in prayer, many times that's why answers don't come. Because the first thing you work on is your mind. Have you found the scriptures that God will help you, and He will help you when? Now. Hallelujah. He will help you now. The obtained promises. What's the promise? For God's personal commitment of bringing His word to pass in your life. That's a promise. That's what promise means. It doesn't always mean something postdated. No. It means something God will do now. And you find it in the scriptures. And when you find it, you have a supernatural expectation. The God that did this will do this also. One evening at home, I was watching Redemption Hour, and they were showing Holy Ghost service live. You know Redemption Hour? Okay. It's not Redemption Hour. It's not Redemption Hour. Is that what they call it? Okay, you don't watch it. Okay. So you know that I sometimes watch now. So I was up that night. I was in the living room. I was lying in the living room. I think my family, nobody was around. I was lying. So I woke up. I'm past 12 night. I began to cry. I saw this woman. She was 51. And she was blushing. She came with her husband. I've never been able to give her all this while. I just want to testify that 2 years ago I came out to show what God has done at 49. She carried a baby. So I just came to say, God has done it again. I said, eh? And now that's why she was blushing. She was 51. Her hair was gray and she was breastfeeding. Don't tell me God can't do it. Don't tell me God can't. I've seen someone God did it for. I've seen someone. If I see someone God did it for, my hope is reaching out for that reality also. The same God overall is rich unto all that call upon Him. The same God overall. I remove the limits. Because the limit is, you don't know the things you've read. If you're academic and intellectual, you've read things. Some of them are good for knowledge. But some of them have suffocated faith without you knowing. Eric Evan Kenigan said years ago that he read, and funny enough, that's, I guess, one of my favorite magazines that I read. I've not even been able to read for a while now. He said he read it there that whenever, once you get to 40 years of age, you start forgetting things. It's also from amnesia. He said he didn't know what he read entered him. He just knows he started forgetting things. The day he woke up to it, I keep saying, I have forgotten, I remember. It was because knowledge was given to him that is contrary to the word of God. Say, I remember very well. Say, my mind is clear. My mind is not clouded. I remember very well. I do not forget things. He began to confess it. He was now in his 40s. When he noticed the pattern, you know, the information set a limit on what his mind was able to capture. Some of us are thinking, by the time I'm 80, you know, I will have lost all my teeth. Who says you can't have all your teeth? What does losing teeth have to do with, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I cannot eat this. I cannot eat that. I cannot eat that. All those, I cannot. And some people, they are eating anything and everything. And you are there. You can only take liquid. God forbid, bad thing. You have to stretch beyond it. Because God has done it and keeps doing it for people. The husband was dead. The woman was blushing. And also why she was blushing now. Second child, 51. And he's done it for people who were less than 60. He has done it. He did it for Elizabeth in the scriptures. So that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, Elizabeth was over 60 when she had John the Baptist. Then it was written in prophecy, a virgin shall give birth. When the angel visited Mary in Luke chapter 1, the angel, understanding the way the heart of man functions, had to tell Mary, when she was asking, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? I don't know any man. How shall it be? Everybody knows there has to be sexual intercourse between a man and a woman for a woman to conceive. I'm a virgin. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that only thing which shall be going to be shall be called what? The Son of God. Oh, I like hearing string testimonies. Sir, somebody says, as of last year, September, I was looking for house rent. Sir, I have a house now. He said, what did you say? How? God, who is the lifter of men, is still lifting men. He will lift you this season. He will open doors for you this season. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan. Planning is good. But when you are planning, make room for the supernatural. Make room for the glory of God to overshadow. Say, God, I'm doing what I need to do as a responsible individual, but I trust in your grace. I trust in your power. I trust in your glory. I know one day and a night, people that were slaves in a foreign land, they became wealthy with silver and gold. Because God spoke to the hearts of men. He has done it before. He has done it before. They were slaves in Egypt. One day, one night, the next morning, their hands were full of gold. One day, one night, he has done it before. They were written for our learning. So that we can expect God will do great things for you. You will not fall behind. May every limitation in your mind be broken in the name of Jesus. So you can see the greatness of God like I've never seen before. This is that season for it. It's not too late to have twins if you want twins. Okay. I'm not joking. It's not too late to have twins. People are not even asking. They got it. Six at one go. Sometimes I'm wondering, how did the person look when they were carrying, you were carrying six human beings? The mystery of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. I met a friend in service here. Said there are 14 of us. I said, how many mother? I said, one mother. I said, that's supernatural. That's my conclusion. Don't let me investigate it. How many say 14? How many say one mother, one woman? So what do you mean? Say we have two triplets, two twins. Ew. You know, just calculate that number first. You calculate that number first. That's not 10 already. That's already 10. Two triplets, two twins. How? The Holy Ghost shall come upon him. The power of the highest shall what? Overshadow him. And that only thing shall be born of you. Shall be called what? The Son. So there's something God wants to do. But look at what God did. He needed Mary to cooperate. What did Mary say? Be it unto me according to your word. But what did the angel say unto her after? He said, now go, your cousin Elizabeth. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. That means I have done something in somebody's life that they also said was impossible. So that I can tell her what I said I would do now, I will do through you. What was the angel trying to do? Get hope. Get a picture of the future you are trusting God. Get a picture. Get that picture from someone's experience. What God has done before. The same God overall is rich unto all that call upon him. That's what God is doing. Once the barrier is in your mind, God is limited in what he can do. He's limited in what he can do. So it comes to stretch the curtains of your mind and of my mind. Look at Psalm 78. I'm only from verse 1. Oh, praise God. Look at what happened to children of Israel. Give ye, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. Verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we've had, which we've known, and our fathers have what? Told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his what? Wonderful works which he has done. We will not hide them. Our fathers have told us. We will tell them to our children's children. That is how Moses knew what happened in Genesis. First of all, the words of the elders, word of mouth. Remember when Moses was born, he was hidden for a while. Okay? So the assassins sent out by the king will not get to him. And his own sister carried him upon the waters. And he became an adopted son to the daughter of Pharaoh. So when he was there, he had the land of Egypt. But the person that was Moses' nanny taught Moses the ways of the fathers. So Moses knew the history of his nation. Though he was in Egypt, Moses was never an Egyptian. He was taught the history of the people of God. He knew about Abraham. He knew about Abel. He knew about Noah. He knew about individuals. So he was taught by his own mother who became the nanny. Don't forget that. Now, so this will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and what? The wonderful works which he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. They should make them known unto their children. Now, can you see that now? So it was meant to be a generational thing. You pass it on. You have a legacy in God. God has moved supernaturally. God has blessed you. There are works that God has worked. You have worked with God by faith. And they were mighty things God did. You were meant to transfer that same thing to the next world generation. In other words, this is greater than natural riches, natural resources. There's a work you have with God as a father, as a mother, that God expects you to transfer to your children. How to pray, how to trust God, how to stand in difficult places and see God come through, how to pray before them and see answers come. You build their faith in the God of their fathers. Look at what it says again. Look at next verse. Look at verse 6. That the generation to come, it's as though the person was speaking about this generation. Gen Z's. Hey, Lord help us. This generation that have come, they might know them. Even the children which are now being born, not just to be born. Which will arise and do what? Declare them to their own children. That they might set their expectation where? In God. And not forget the works of God, but keep what? His commandments. Listen carefully. That means every miracle, a commandment was kept. What was the product of the commandment? The works of God. What were they meant to do in the midst of battle? They will pray and sing praises. Why would they sing praises? God told them, the day comes when you stand and the enemy comes, Deuteronomy chapter 20 from verse 1, and you see an army that is mightier than you. It was a testimony in Jacob. It was a law in Israel. When you see an army, do not be afraid of him. For the Lord your God, he it is that goes ahead of you. It was a law. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 20 that way. It was established in the scriptures. Moses wrote it down for them to understand. That means God knows you will meet something mightier than you. He knows there are people that are more than you that you are going to meet. This is happening in the career space right now. You have people who are treacherous. You have people who use political will against you. You have people who want to hurt you out of your position. You will meet people that way, but do not be afraid of them. In nothing should you be terrified by the adversaries. That's what the scripture says. So when you get there, remember the Lord your God, he it is that goeth ahead of you. Do not fear them. He promised them victory before they ever had to fight. So let them tell it to their generation, their fathers, so that they may set the expectation in God. They will not forget, but keep. What was the commandment? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see the same issue came up in the life of Jehoshaphat. He kept the commandment. What did he do? He prayed and sang praises. When was the last time when you prayed to God in difficult circumstances, praise followed your prayer? If your hope was really in God, if your hope was really in God, when was the last time that happened to you? Because that was a commandment. They should look to God. And if they look to God, instead of complaining and murmuring and bowing their head in despair or defeat, they will praise God. They will thank him. They will become more conscious of his presence. Be still and know I am who? I'm God. I will be what? Exalted even above the hidden. That was the commandment we meant to keep. They will set their hope in God. They will keep his commandments. Look at verse 8. Are you following me this morning? I might not be as their fathers. Now, I want to pause a little bit. There were two fathers in this passage of scripture. The first fathers were fathers of faith. The second were fathers of rebellion. The fathers that denied God in the wilderness, they're not the same thing as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abel and the others. They were also fathers. So there were two fathers. That if they would listen to the testimony of the first set of fathers before they were captive in Egypt, they will set their hope in God. They may not be at these other fathers who are stubborn and what rebellious. A generation that did not set their heart right, whose spirit did not grow steadfast. That means they didn't stand with God. Say, I stand with God. Say, I walk with God. I walk in his statutes. I obey his commandments. Those things I just said, I just believe. Just believe. To walk in God's statutes, to obey his commandments, just believe. Practice the scriptures. That's what it says. Just practice scriptures. Today, whatever Jehoshaphat faced in the place of war is captured today in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Have no anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The answer will come as peace. You'll be assured of an outcome before the outcome is manifest. But say, be careful. Have no anxiety. Why? You were not designed for anxiety. The mind of man was not designed to possess panic. Panic scatters you. Panic gives room for the oppressor to come in. Panic makes you say things you ought not to say. That's what happens. It's panic that makes people say, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. But you're not dead. You're about to have an accident. That's what you're saying. I see my experience. I was with three church members. I was the one driving the car. We're gisting about things of God. We're around Tollgate, Ogiri area. And just a few minutes before we got there, while we're still gisting with them, I was driving, I just began to pray in tongues. Now, this was a prompting by the Spirit. I began to pray in tongues. That's supernatural language. He that speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but unto God. For no man what? Understand it. So I began to speak in tongues. And suddenly, I was on the fast lane. You know, it's a fast lane, the slow lane. Nigerians don't understand the difference. But we thank the Lord. My wife's always wondering, why I always get upset with people. I don't understand. I mean, this, you have a very small vision. You can never drive outside the country. I don't understand. This is two lanes. This is my lane. This is your lane. And you are here. And you are abusing me. I don't understand. You know, you are not okay. You can't be okay. You need psychiatric evaluation. You are facing me and my lane. You left your lane. It's empty. I'm in my lane. I'm doing what is right. So you have done what is wrong. So many times your brain has been wired. It's called wickedness. That's what it calls wickedness. That means you are now twisted. That's what it means. I don't understand. You want to turn. You left your lane. I'm in my lane. And you are blaming for being where I ought to be, even though you had one way out of place. Have you seen bad men coming in one way before, abusing you for standing in the road? You know something is already wrong. You don't know how terrible that thing is. They are wrong. But they've done the wrong so many times. It's now right. Now you are right. They are accusing you. Who is right? If you are not careful, you too will think you are wrong. I don't know. It's a round of the brain, no. The first time they did it, so they felt somehow. They were looking at it. But if they did it repeatedly, their mind is now rewired. They are now doing wrong things with a sense of rightness. It's evil. That's wickedness. That means something twisted has happened. That's what has happened. You are still coming this morning. We're going to this morning. And there's a clear demarcation, the white line. And somebody straddled it, the line. And it was not moving. And it's shadow line. You're meant to be in the slow lane. Since you have chosen to cruise on Sunday morning, since you are going nowhere, we are going somewhere. Let us pass. And it's shadow the lane. And it was having fun. I had to press the on. So that you can. And it didn't even shift. And now we just pass by. So you are living in that kind of world where there's disorder. And you are trying to live right. And if you're not careful, they'll make you say things you ought not to say. I hope you understand that. They will. They make you say things you ought not to say. That's just an illustration for you to see what's going on. So that's kind of what, and Bob says that, don't allow the world to what? Squeeze you. You know, I still stop at traffic lights. Even when there's no traffic coming from the other side. It's training. It's being civilized. It's being law abiding. Your being law abiding is not something you do when everybody's there. It's something you do even when nobody's what? There. And then I see people who are behind me. They press on. What's wrong with you? Can't you see? Is anybody there? So that means the only reason why you obey the traffic light, because there was traffic on the other side. And these are people that you can't even try it in most modern nations. Do you know, for instance, there's a law. If you come to a roundabout, people don't even read the highway code. They don't even know what is there. It's sad. They don't even know what's there. When you get to a traffic junction, the law in most civilized places is that the first person that gets there, everybody waits for the person to pass. Two of us are here. You are just coming. Maybe I'm made for Canada. I've been thinking about it for a while, but you have to say, why am I still surprised about those things? I don't understand. We know who came first. Everybody does. We're about to move. You are just coming. And you are coming, you are doing like this. I don't understand. It's like, if they burn you, where? And you are just coming. You know, The two of us that are sin, we just wait for your madness to pass. Because you can't be okay. And there's no point negotiating somebody who is not okay. They don't even know. You met people there. You want to leave them behind. And then if I get to the traffic junction and I'm waiting for the other person to pass, you're pressing on behind me, you are impatient. Because you don't even have courtesy when it comes to rules of the road. This is basic humanity. You don't need to be born again to know it. How much money are you not born again? Money is even expected of you. Hallelujah. How do we get here? So they kept the commandment of God. That's what they did. And they couldn't understand when issues arise. And let me say it this way. How many of you think that the challenges that came suddenly upon you, God is surprised? When you panic, that's what you are saying. That as I'm shocked, God is also surprised. In fact, as I'm confused, God's like, God is also confused. And God is scrabbling out looking for what to do. God, the maker of the ends of the earth. The one who says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, and has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. What that he prepares? He makes rivers in the wilderness. Hallelujah. He makes a way where there's what? No way. For those he has prepared things for. And you are one of those people. That means by design, God expects you to flourish in the midst of adversity to show that the God of heaven is your God. Not to panic and to try, oh, I wonder, this is a year of overflow. Things are working out for your good. Say, things are working out for your good. Any news you hear, first dance, first sing, first shout. Somebody says, are you okay? Says, I'm trying to be sober. I'm not going to, because if I cry, that's not sobriety. If I complain, that's not sobriety. Sober means that being in your right senses, being the glory, being the victory. Don't act like somebody who is defeated. Don't act like someone who doesn't have divine backing. I am divinely backed by heaven. Hallelujah. Psalm 20 verse 1. The Lord heard thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob set you on high. That's a promise that something God will do when you're in a difficult situation. That's what he will do. The Lord heard thee in the day of trouble. Say, God hears me in the day of trouble. He set me on high. He said, the name of the God of Jacob defend. What defend means? He sets you above the situation, the challenge. That's what he does. He says, it's a promise. It's something God will do. A thousand shall fall by your side. Psalm 91. And then that's my right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you what? See and behold. I'm not dying in a car accident. No. No. I'm not going to suffer a car crash. I'm not going to suffer accidents in life. My going forth is blessed. My coming back is blessed. I'm protected in the day. I'm protected in the night. God shields me. The Lord knows how to deliver me in difficult situations. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 91 verse 15. So look at Psalm 91 verse 15. See what it says. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Say, God answers me. Oh, glory to God. You dwell with this kind of scriptures. You stay there. He shall call upon me. So he knows a day will come. You will need to call. Now before you call, he has assured you of an answer. He said, I will answer you. I will be with him in trouble. The word with is actually italicized. So what is it? I with him in trouble. Oh, yes. What is it? I with him. The word will rather italicized. It says, I with him in trouble. I will deliver. And when I deliver, how will I deliver? With honor. With honor. With honor. Don't you like that kind of deliverance? That means it's not casual deliverance. So it's not that one. When I want to deliver, I do it with what? Honor. That's when I bring you out. It won't be the same way you went in. No one in the Bible says, are the prince of this world known? They will not. I crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Jesus went down, but he didn't come out the same way. He didn't come out the same. That's your story. Oh. That's my story. That's our story in scriptures. You may go down, but you never come out the same way. I would deliver him and what? I would honor. That means when I'm bringing you out, it's with what? Honor. So that you never need to be afraid of adversity ever again. Adversity is for advancement. I was watching PFN broadcasts, and the one I just concluded, and I heard Papa Mopai. He said, a life without problem is useless. You need to hear him well, though. Because some of you don't hear well. He said, in life, that problem is useless. He said, how will you experience God's power? God, I want your power, but there's no problem. You know, there must be a problem. Many are the afflictions of, not the wicked, or the righteous. Have you heard the Bible like that? See, I'm the righteous. I'm not saying you claim they are what? It's a fact. You say you are the righteous. It is reaching ahead of time. Many are what? The afflictions. Is that how that scripture ends? Psalm 34 verse 19. But the Lord. There's always a part about your story. But the Lord delivers him out of one, every one of them. Out of everyone. Your story has been written. How you will come out has been written. When he wants to deliver you, he will what? Honor you. It's only God that can make a mistake glorious. What men write off, he turns it into a glorious testimony. That is when he breathes upon it. It makes a difference. I hope you know that Joseph went to prison as a condemned prisoner. He was called a rapist. But he came out as a prime minister. And nobody even remembered the accusation. Have you ever wondered? Potiphar did not speak of. Nobody said that way. I'm the judge that sentenced. He's not supposed to be. Everybody was quiet. They were too engulfed in the solutions that God brought forth to the land through him. Nobody. But who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died. Who is also risen? Who makes what? Intercession. Say, is my intercession. His aliveness is my intercession. He stands in my place. He stands for me. It's my expectation of great things to come. Ephesians 2. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to round up shortly now. I just want you to be supercharged. Tell your neighbor, this is your mouth. If you're speaking forth the works of God, this your life is meant to be a display of the praise of God. In this year, this season, the next 3 months, your story will have changed. We'll hear testimonies of God's workings in your life. What you thought would take 10 years will take 3 months in the name of Jesus. It doesn't take God long. It does not take God long. It doesn't take God long. I'm talking about testimonies that you will go to bed and sleep. You know, you are walking through the day, and it's like a lie. A young man I was telling Pierre what anybody know. He did. I've forgotten what really fully happened to him. And between the and the next day, you know what it means to sell Pierre water to survive? And he had 15 million in his account. So he went back to bed. There's no way your mind can. Because it's not a gradual growth. No, gradual growth, your mind accustomed. It's not gradual. Joseph, it was not gradual. It was one day and one night. Suddenly, you are a slave. Now, you are not just a house owner. All the houses in land belong to you. You are second in command. Without you, Pharaoh does not lift a finger. And you were once a slave. You were once in prison. And God did it one day by what you call the wisdom of God. Within the affairs of God. Within the manipulations of God. God used the wisdom that brought. So, he does things like that. He's still doing those things. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. Verse 10. Ephesians 2 verse 10. I can quote it. I don't want to quote it. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are. Say we are. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Which God has ordained. That we should walk in them. So he has before ordained. That is ahead of time. Before ordained. Now. We generally don't read on to verse 11. But look at verse 11. Wherefore. Remember. Hallelujah. Tell anybody it's good to remember. Yeah, there's something to remember. Wherefore, remember that you've been in time past, you were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called of circumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Look at this definition. At that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the wealth that is common to Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We're going to continue from here next, but let me show you something. Look at that verse 12 again. Notice what it says in verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens or estranged or separated from the commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth and wealth that is common, they mean the same thing. So there was a wealth that was common to Israelites. What is that wealth? There were covenants of promise. And in those covenants, there was hope. And that hope was an extension of the fact that they were with God and God was with them. That's what he's trying to say. So notice, say, God is with me. I have the Holy Ghost. God is in me. Now, God with you is also supernatural hope. I'm not without God. I'm with God. God is with me. That is the one that will fulfill and bring what I'm expecting to pass. He's actually where? With me. It's not far away. He's where? with me and is where? In me. That's important. So he's talking to the Ephesians, who were once called Gentiles. Said there was a time, I want you to remember, you didn't have Christ. To have Christ means you have the fullness of the promises of God. There was a time you were alienated from a world that is common. So those patriarchs, there was a world that was common. That world was that there were covenants, which is a contractual agreement between them and God about some things God will do when they find themselves in trouble. And that thing that God said he would do, which was promised, produced hope in their life. That hope led to certain actions that they took. What do I mean by that? That hope was what led them to place of prayer. Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when three armies came against them, our God, you said, if we call upon you, when we see an army mightier than we, you said you will answer us from heaven. The people that have come against us, when it was time for our fathers to destroy them, you said you should not destroy them, that you should lead them. Can you see the way they are about to repay us? Will you not come to our aid and answer? And God, because of the covenant of promise, he spoke and said, you will not need to fight in this battle. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. So when God was telling the fathers to spare the nation that came against them, he had a plan in mind. Do you understand? You know, God does not dwell in time, though he works in time. He dwells in eternity. In eternity, yesterday, today, they are the same. So he has seen in advance. Now, even if he comes against you, he still doesn't change my plan. I will deliver you. And when I deliver, I will honor you. Covenants of promise. Things God said he would do for you. I won't die before my time. I will fulfill the length of my days. The one marking those words is God himself. His blood ratifies those promises. He's standing strong by me. As long as I will continue to speak, his words will not fall to the ground. Hallelujah. There's nothing like sudden death. No. There's nothing sudden about God's provision. No, no. My life is secure in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the confidence you ought to have. And that's why Satan knows. And that's why he orchestrates evil tidings all around us. In the news, everywhere. Evil tidings. I had to speak and encourage somebody in the U.S. recently. Confused. Bewildered. What's happening with the new policies that are bringing up? I said, no, God orchestrated for you to go. He has a plan. Stay with the plan. He orchestrated how you will go. He knows what your going there is meant to do. It's meant for those who just went. It was the finger of God that moved you forward. A word came, that's how you went. So remember the word that came, that made it possible, against all odds, for you to have a place in that land. Now the same God of hope consoles you and strengthens you. Stand your ground. If Jehoshaphat had made the mistake of weeping and complaining, they would have been destroyed in the light of God's help that was waiting. What did God say to them when the challenge came? Fear not. You shall not need to fight. You shall not need to fight. That's what God said to him. So before the army came, victory was waiting ahead of time. Covenant of promise means that in every given situation, I will do this for you. Hallelujah. As many of us as our fathers, for instance, you know the way you feel about your children when they're in trouble and difficult situations. You know the way you will pray. You know the way you will seek God. Do you have a word from God? That's what God said he would do in a given situation. Do you love your children the way God loves you? So your child is sick. Or something that they said by medical science. And from what they said, it looks like this is a case that's like incurable. Laugh. Dance. I know somebody whose specialty is this case you just mentioned. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying this morning. You tell, you say, I know someone whose specialty is this case you just mentioned. Doctor, I thank you. You've done your part. Let me go to the one who makes a mockery of every sickness and disease. Who is the healer himself? Our personal physician. Hallelujah. In a crusade one day, a young man was brought. I know if some people intimidate the man of God, you are preaching, you will be confused if you are not careful as man of God. Even man of God needs faith. If man of God is trusting God, there are some cases, if they bring to you, start, you tell the ushers, take the person to the back. Bring the people that the blind, the lame, because the person that was in front of the crusade ground had no eyes. The place where they're supposed to be eyes, there was nothing there. You know, like, let the blind see. This is not blind. There's no eye there. So if you like, tell the ushers, he said the first day he came, the woman was waiting with each other. This day, those who insist on the power of God working, and they will not let go. So the first night of the crusade, Abijah said, they look for, while they were doing closing prayer, everybody close your eyes, it sneaked out. Men of God are men of God. They are still men, but they are of God. Amen. If you think we are bold all the time, it's not true. It's not true, I'm telling you. That is where the covenants of promise. I've told you before, I'll go back to that story. A member of this church, I didn't see them in church. Early days of church, were not this number then. I didn't see them. I called. Said she was in the hospital. That she's been prepped for a surgery. I just had the urge, go and check the person. So when I was driving there, I said, Father, I'm just in conversation now to say, Father, what should I do when I get there? You are sending me, I'm a servant. A servant is someone that receives instructions. Why should you pray that prayer if you're not expecting to hear anything? You pray that prayer in what is the hope? God answers when I pray. I hope you understand. You know, some of you are not even expecting anything. You're just trying. It's trial and error. When it's not here, saying, hey, you have said it. God will really speak when he wants to speak. No. So when you call, I will answer you. He said, you said you will answer me. So my ears are actually open to you. So when I was going, he said, he just whispered, I said, she's afraid. She's very afraid. When he gave them rebuke fear. I said, why? He said, she will die. So even though God has spoken, you still want to confirm, isn't it? So I got there. So I asked her, pleasantries, said my dad just left. My husband came in when he still come back later in the day. I said, what happened? He said, I have appendicitis and it's very serious, so they want to operate. I said, so how do you feel? He says, I'm afraid. So what my husband said, he's very afraid. That's risk power too. You know, he's very afraid. I didn't tell her what God said. I just said, very afraid. So I got there and I began to share the word of God. What was I giving her? Supernatural hope. To change the expectation. Apparently it was a father that came and spread fear. Chief Odusi, in 1964, this is what they tried to do. He died. Hey, my God, my God, my God. What is this? My daughter. Even Mr. Samuel, that was in Elliot Street also. This is the thing that they do. It's so close, you know, and it cannot happen. I don't understand. If you cannot help me, leave me the way I am. Don't be a merchant of death and of evil. Spreading fear. So it was after the father that the fear blanketed like a cloak upon her. I began to speak God's word. What was I giving? Hope. A new vision in her. And I prayed for her. I rebuked the spirit of fear. She came to church to testify. Pastor Jimmy remembers. Pastor Tulish went. And he said, sir, when they did the surgery, I left my body. I stood before Jesus. It was a prayer that gave her strength. When she stood before Jesus, I said, Lord Jesus, I can't come. My kids are down there. I'm waiting for them. He smiled and said, go back. I found myself back in my body. She would have died. And then some foolish Christians would say, we didn't even know what God was doing. This way, anybody can just die anytime. May God help us. You don't know what happened behind the scenes. Now, I'm a man. If it was not revealed, it's not revealed. I was fortunate that it was revealed because God answers prayer. It was revealed to us. One of us here that kept having miscarriages. A particular one was very painful for me as a pastor. I was going there. I said, God, what will I say when I get there? What will I say now? This is the third one. He said, when you get there, tell her I will visit her. You know, you feel like God should say something long. Like you say, just tell her I will visit her. You feel like saying, should I to what on? Yeah, you come in the vessel. Just like that. So I got there, comforted her, and everything. I just said, God told me that. He said, he will visit you. I pray that she called me 2 days after. I said, it's true to his word. So what happened? He said, he came to me in the dream of night and showed me what happened and assured me it never happened again. That this and this and this to me, you should have this word. God is real. God is real. I said, God is real. Listen carefully. In my walk with God, more often than not, in the place of praying for people, I get to know whether I receive a positive answer. I won't get a proper answer. I will know right from the sensations of my heart. Because God is real and God is true. He's real and God is true.
And as a pastor, I get to use certain scriptures because I am a shepherd. I didn't call myself. And I remind him, you asked me to do this work. You must do this for these people. I pray such prayers. I have a right to do so. It's also like a covenant. You told me to do this. So these people and this person, I'm asking you that you do this for this person. Because this is what you said you would do in your word. I hope you understand that, the principle. It's not every time, but there are a few instances in my life and ministry I've had to bring this kind of prayers. Where there was great calamity. And I paced up and I said, Lord, I remember. I didn't want to start church. I didn't want to do church, you know. I was comfortable being an associate. Ministry is not, you want to learn like vocabulary, you want to do freedom. That's what some people are doing, so. The thing is missed call. Those who God called are praying and asking God to strengthen them. You is missed call. It was flash. You suspected God called you and you are going on suspicion. They will use you as snacks. This thing is grave. It's serious. It's not something you play with. Don't just make up your mind. You have to be convinced. You have to know that God has called you. Particularly when it comes to the pastoral office. It's a very serious matter. Because if he didn't ask you, you don't want to know. Because you don't have any basis to pray certain prayers. When there has to be intervention in certain ways. But the question I want to ask is this. If a challenge comes up, it becomes arises. Do you have promises you can stand on? I say, God, this is what you said you would do. You have never lied. That is what it means to have supernatural hope. That helps you take off the limitations of your environment. When they say no in that area and that space, you can get a yes from heaven. That is, this is still what? Possible. I've seen deadlines beaten. A student came to me when I was still pastoring. I know I'm just let you just share testimony this morning. She had a carryover. I said that if I was a guy, he said, sir, I've already had a carryover before. Mother, I don't have a father. My mother struggled to send me to school. I've already done one extra. If I draw her down, it will break my mother's heart. She can't afford to continue. What do I do? And I've talked to the lecturer. They said there's nothing I can do. I said, we can pray and trust God. We can come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. We can. I said, let's pray. It was a Friday. We prayed. I didn't see him again until Monday. He came back with a smile. He said, when I first got there, they told me that those who have one carryover were trying to help them. You have three. There's no hope for you. The person I said there's no hope for you went into the Senate, had a meeting, came back. I said, they said we should clear you. But when I saw him Monday, he said, sir, I came here and said, where I can get transport money to go for service here. God is faithful. I want to assure you this season that God is faithful. That God will come true for you. Everything you trusted him for, everything you have expected, every miraculous intervention you require, God will come true for you. Take off every limit in your mind and your consciousness. The power of God is working on your behalf to do you good and to move you into new things. It's time to experience God like you have never experienced before. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God bless you.